fear pushes faith out of the driver's seat and gets into the driver's seat of our car. And where does fear always take us? To the worst neighborhoods.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Pastor Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again on this program. I love the city of Chicago. I've been a pastor in this city for over 30 years now. I started pastoring when I was 21, and I've pastored from the north side to the south side. I started out pastoring in Back of the Yards neighborhood where there were gang members on our front steps that I would regularly talk to and challenge and say, this is God's corner, so move your drug activity somewhere else. I've pastored on the north side in Lincoln Park and Lakeview that are more young professional neighborhoods. And so I know this city well and love this city. And my heart is burdened that we have the reputation of being one of the most violent cities in the United States of America. Even up till now, over 2,000 people have been shot since January to this summer in this city. And my heart was super saddened, not only at the violence that we've seen in Chicago, but the violence that we've seen across our nation. It's been violence perpetuated between people on the streets of Chicago, gang violence. Recently, there's been violence against police officers. Our nation is at a boiling point. And here's what I want to challenge the people of God to do. I know that this is a tense issue. There's racial tensions across this country and in our cities. But I want to challenge you to be brokers of peace. Over and over in Scripture, we are called to be agents of peace. It doesn't mean that you can't express your opinion. It doesn't mean that you can't stand up for injustice that's happening. But let's channel our voices to be voices of peace for this nation. We are the peacemakers working towards solution, not inciting violence, working towards helping bringing people together, not separating people. The people of God have always, always been called to be peace brokers. In fact, we are agents of reconciliation. Let's continue to pray for our nation, continue to pray for the city of Chicago, and continue to be ambassadors of peace for the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on Straight Talk. We continue on in Pastor Mark's series called Emotional Intelligence as we conclude his message called Overcoming Fear. Let's jump right into our message. Our text will be found in the book of Ephesians chapter 7. Here's Pastor Mark.
You're walking down the hallway with your little briefcase, ready to do damage in the business world, not intimidated by any man. And then all of a sudden, there it is, right there on the wall, a big spider. And suddenly, this confident, intelligent businesswoman turns into a frightened, sniveling child. Huh? Someone do something about it. Get it. Please help me. But what? Reduced to childlike behavior by a little hairy spider. Why? It's irrational. It's fear. And that's exactly what fear does to our life, is that fear exercises a power greater than itself. Now, the truth is, can that spider do anything to that person? Well, if it's just a regular household spider, no. That spider can't do anything. It just looks scary. But it's the emotion of fear that causes us to go into this kind of panic attack. There's no reality to it. It can't even touch you, but it causes you to live in this panic and fear. For my wife, it's mice. My wife is a confident leader. I've seen her stand up to the best, make decisions, lead. But one day I walked into my house years ago. I walked into my house and I saw my wife on the dining room table with boots on, a broom in hand, squatting down, red eyes from crying. And I walked in and I wanted to laugh, but I saw on her face, this is no laughing matter. I said, honey, are you okay? No! What's wrong? Our son's in the house! Whoa, who's in the house? A mouse! Now, I know this mouse is more afraid of her than she is of the mouse. But it had sent her into this panic attack, so much so that she said, with no uncertainty, I will not stay in this house as long as that mouse is in this house. And I say, well, honey, it's just unreasonable to think that I'm going to catch him in one evening. I will rent a hotel room. I will go stay at my mother's house. I will not stay here. You have to get that mouse. I think it's the first time in my life I've ever prayed, oh, God, help me to catch a mouse. You know, you pray some interesting prayers, right? Miraculously, because if you've ever had mice, you know it usually doesn't work this easy. Miraculously, I was able to corner that mouse into the bathroom, and with the mighty, well, I'll spare you the bloody details, but I got that mouse. To my wife, it was as though I had slain the dragon. I was her knight in shining armor, came out with my broom and ready, hey, I did it, honey. The point is that our fears are irrational and can drive us to behavior that doesn't make sense because fear is not rational. It gets a hold of us and it drives us. It exerts power over us that doesn't make sense. But to the person that is gripped by fear, it doesn't have to make sense. What they know is this emotion is driving me and I'm definitely afraid of something. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of power that actually gives you the ability to overcome whatever fear may be dominating your life. In fact, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond than what we ask or think, I love this, according to the power that is at work within us. There is a power that is at work within you. Dunamis power of God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is there inside of you, helping you to have victory over any emotion that is not of God, to put it at bay, the force and the power to overcome. And I want you to realize you have the power to overcome any obstacle in your life that is not of God. I guarantee you. I love what it says in Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Number two, love. Now, oftentimes we think of, well, what does love have to do with driving out fear? Love helps me understand my security and keeps me grounded in the face of fear. I love what it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, listen, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. There's something about love, knowing that you are somebody and that somebody cares for you. There's something about knowing your identity and your worth and your value. When you know who you are and you know why you exist and you know who loves you, you do not have to let anybody else define you because you know who you are. What love does, the love of God, it says, I love you. I know you. God knows your name. And he never mispronounces it. Isn't that great about God? I know your teacher does sometimes. I know people around you. He knows your name. Not only does he know your name, he knows your middle initial. And he knows your full name. And he knows how to pronounce your last name. And he knows the history of your life. And he knows your heart. In fact, the God of the universe knows so much about you that the Bible literally says that he has the hairs of your head counted. That's easy with me, but with some of you, it's a lot harder. Don't laugh too hard, guys. Your number keeps changing. Like minus changing. The point that God is making is that I know you, I care about you. And the thing, I love this image. It's like I have this image of a mother with a broom driving out a dirty, mangy dog out of her house. And she has a broom and she's saying, get out of here, out, out. And he tries to corner around and she says, you're getting my house dirty. You don't belong here, out of my house. She drives him out of her house. And this is what the Bible says, that perfect love drives out fear. It drives it out. That if you're full of the love of God, you cannot be full of fear when you're full of love. Because the love of God, your identity, who you are, it'll start to drive fear out of your life. The less secure you are in who you are, the less you know your value, the less you know your worth, the less you know your identity, the more full of fear you will become. You know, there's something amazing about knowing that someone is with us and someone cares. Ladies, has it ever happened to you? You are at home alone and maybe it's the evening time and you hear a noise in the basement. You call up your husband and you say, honey, I think I heard something in the basement. And he says, honey, it's probably nothing. It's probably just the heater going on. No, I think I heard something. Now, because he's on the phone, you have the courage to walk in the basement. Stay with me. Now, seriously. I mean, if there ever were something to happen, what can he do on the phone? I mean, he's not going to be able to help you. You couldn't say, hey, my husband's big. He's got muscles. Hey, don't do anything to me. No. It's not going to help. But the fact that you hear his voice, the fact that you know he knows, and the fact that you're talking to someone that cares just gives you this boost of boldness and energy. And so you go down in the basement and say, wait, don't hang up, honey. Do not hang up. You know, and you look and you check and it was nothing. It was just the cat. Okay. But the point is that because you knew someone cared, was with you, it gave you boldness to do what you would not do on your own. You see, that's the way it is with God. When we know that God cares, when we know that he's there, when we know that he listens, when we know that he's with us, when we know that his presence is there, it begins to drive out fear in our life, and we do things because of his presence that we would not do in our own power because he is with us.
We will be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Overcoming Fear, which is from our series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Pastor Mark's message is called Overcoming Fear.
In essence, what happens is that God makes his presence known to us. I love what Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the boldness of Joshua, who was about to conquer some land and lead. And God is speaking to him, don't be afraid because I am with you. Thirdly, sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. God has given you a spirit of love. And God has given you a spirit of a sound mind. Now, some of your translations say discipline or self-discipline. This is literally a very difficult word to translate. But the best way to describe this word is it's the opposite of a panic-stricken mind. When someone goes into a panic, they don't think clearly. Have you ever panicked? Maybe you're at a Target store or something like that, and you can't find your two-year-old. Has that every parent, I think, has the Where is he? And you just panic. You don't know what to do. You're not thinking clearly. A thousand thoughts rush through your mind. Adrenaline begins to pump, and you just don't think clearly when you're in a panic mode. There's confusing thoughts. You make wrong decisions because you're not thinking clearly, and someone has to say, okay, sit down, take a deep breath. All right, let's think about this for a second. A sound mind is the opposite of a panic-stricken, fear-filled mind. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a sound mind, a clear-thinking mind in him. And so, in essence, what the Spirit of God wants to do is make sure that your thoughts are driven by faith and trust and not driven by fear. Let's imagine that your mind is a car and your thoughts are cars. What fear does is fear pushes us out, pushes faith out of the driver's seat and gets into the driver's seat of our car. And where does fear always take us? To the worst neighborhoods. Fear takes the thought, your thoughts, your thinking, and fear drives you to the darkest places, to the neighborhoods where you feel like, I gotta lock my doors. Fear always takes you there. It takes you to the negative places. It takes you to the dark places. It takes you to the worst case scenario and makes you live the worst case scenario as though it were going to happen, as though it were true, as though this is the reality. Fear takes a little pain that you felt in the back of your head, probably because you slept bad on your pillow, and makes you think, I think I have a tumor. I had a cousin that had a tumor, and I probably do have a tumor, and I probably only have 3 months to live, and I don't have my plot yet. And if I leave it up to my kids, I'll be buried in the backyard in a tin box here. I got to do something about this. And I haven't done my will. And it makes you go to the dark places. You're already seeing your funeral and writing your obituary. Why? Because you felt something on the back of your head. What happens is we begin to grow things worse than what they are. We begin to live in the neighborhood of fear well before it's even come upon us. An argument with your husband turns into, in your mind, divorce court. A bad grade in your son turns into high school dropout, doesn't go to college, it'll never happen. A late night at the office with your wife turns in your mind to this elaborate affair. We go down to the worst places. We pursue them. We see the darkest places, because when fear is driving our thoughts, it'll take us to the neighborhoods that are worse, and it'll camp out in those neighborhoods. And listen to me well. Wherever your mind hangs out the most is what your life will be like. As a man thinketh, so is he. You cannot let your mind dwell in negativity without becoming a negative person. You cannot let your mind dwell in dark places without becoming a dark person. You can't let your mind dwell in hopelessness without being affected by hopelessness. You can't let your mind dwell in criticism without finally you becoming a critical person. Wherever your mind is dwelling, hanging out, living, that is who you will become. It'll pull you there, drag you there, drive you there, because fear is in the driver's seat, not faith, not God, not a renewed mind. Some of you are how you are today and what you are today because fear is in the driver's seat of your life and your thoughts. And you say, Pastor, well, I don't want it to be. But I just don't feel like I can control it. You cannot control what flashes through your mind, but you can control what channel you leave in your mind. Oh, you can't control the commercial, but you can control what channel you choose to dwell in. Are you tracking with me? So I'm going to give you, to wrap up, just a few key principles that will help you with your mind. I love what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Some of you need to take back your thinking because you're spending way too much time in the valley of fear. How do you do that? Let me give you a couple practical tips. Number one, examine your fears. Examine them. I mean, hey, if you're having pains, go to the doctor. I'm in favor of that. But talk to someone else to see if, get someone else's perspective, because you may blow something way out of perspective. Talk to someone else who's rational and ask them whether you're blowing this out of proportion or not. If there's something you can do about it, then do it. If there's nothing you can do about it, then stop thinking about it. Because if there's nothing that you can do about the economy, there's no use worrying about the economy. If there's nothing you can do about the weather, then stop worrying about the weather, because you can't change it. Number two, don't exaggerate your fears, downsize them. You know, don't let a pain in your toe turn into gangrene in your leg. Don't let a careless comment from a friend become a vicious attack from an enemy. Don't allow an argument with your husband to evolve in your mind to divorce court. Don't downsize your fears. Don't allow them to grow and grow like a snowball in your life. Exchange your fears. Fill your mind with thoughts about good things. When some of us have been playing the same record over and over, you've been fearing this for 15 years and it still hasn't happened. So let it go. Exchange your fears. Choose to dwell on what's good. And for some of you that are used to dwelling on the negativity, it'll take you changing the record 100 times a day, maybe when you start, but change it. Change it. Change it. Change the record. Begin to choose what's good. You know what's hard? It's hard to focus on negativity and fear when you're in the middle of thanksgiving and praise. So start praising. Start thanking. Start thinking about what you have, what is good. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to live in a fantasy world. I'm not telling you to live in a fantasy world, but live in this world. Live in the world where God is in control. He's on the throne. He is good. He never changes. In the end, God wins and we're on his team. Live in that world. I'm an optimist. Why? I'm an optimist because I know that my God is on the throne. And if he's on the throne, then I have reason to be optimistic about the future, because God is on the throne. Amen? And then lastly, eliminate your fears. Attack them head on. Bring things to God and leave them at his feet. God, this is what is the fear that is possessing me. Lord, I get this fear and I put it at your feet. Take it captive, God. I do not want it to dominate me. You dominate me, Father. Fill me with your faith. Take them captive to God. And as I close, here's what I want you to understand. Listen to me. I believe that God has called us to be a faith-filled, positive people full of his power, his love, and of a sound mind. And I know that we cannot be dominated by fear and be filled with faith, love, and of a sound mind. And so what I'm asking you is to allow the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to fill you with what you already have: power, love, and sound mind.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the second half of his message entitled Overcoming Fear. It's part of our current series called Emotional Intelligence. Join us on the next Straight Talk for part 4, Dealing with Disappointment. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.